Hi, before the episode starts, I just want to quickly jump in with three little Evil Dead updates that I did not get to include in the last video I did, but I thought I would mention now. So according to Sam Raimi updates, a screenshot from Flick's Brew House, it looks like Evil Dead Rise tickets are going to go on sale on April 6th, which is pretty close to the release date, I would say. So keep an eye out for that. Also, there's another screening happening before the movie comes out in Nashville. That'll be on April 12th. It's first come, first serve. You can find more about that on our Twitter page because I share pretty much everything about Evil Dead that comes up on my feed there. So yeah, I hope you enjoy that. And as a closing note, fan art I drew of Ash Williams dying in a glue trap from Disco Jockey at Thrack1978 on Twitter. I love this. Please go show it some love. Rest in peace, Ash Williams, who has died in a glue trap. Enjoy the episode. Hello, and welcome back to episode 10 of Hail to the Deadites. I can't believe we've had like 10 episodes so far. That's crazy. Very excited everyone's here along for the ride. Today's episode is a super special episode. This is a person who I've really admired their work within the Evil Dead community, their writing, and I've wanted them on the podcast since we started, and I'm so excited that now I finally have the chance to bring them on the show to talk about Evil Dead stuff. So I would like to welcome to the show, Logan Ashley.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. So the first question is pretty much the standard question we ask all people on the podcast. How did you get acquainted with the Evil Dead franchise?
So the first Evil Dead film I watched would be in middle school. Honestly, in my house, the horror fanatic is my mom, but this was a film, and my dad loves Evil Dead, and he loves Bruce Campbell, so this was like one of his important movies that he wanted to show me. It was violent, it was disgusting, it was awesome, and then I think I saw Army of Darkness and then the television show, and then I ended up not seeing Evil Dead 2 until like last, when I was like 19.
Yeah, I saw it like the opposite way. I saw Evil Dead 2 first, and then the first one, then Army of Darkness, then the show, then the 2013 reboot.
And then 2013 always gets shoved in at the end.
Yeah, because like, I don't know, it's like, it's a 2010s horror movie. Like, it fits in the Evil Dead franchise, but at the same time, it doesn't have the same like feel to it, really. Yeah. So, what is your favorite entry in the Evil Dead franchise?
I'm going to say Evil Dead 2, but also having recently come back from South by Southwest, Evil Dead Rise is definitely up there.
I'm so jealous you got to see it live. I literally would do anything to see that movie early. Literally every episode of the podcast since they've announced the movie, I just talk for 5 minutes on length about how badly I want to see it and how devastated I am that there's no advanced screenings in Canada, so there's no way I can see it early. So I'm very jealous you got to see it early. So my next question for you is to rank the Evil Dead franchise. Where you've seen Evil Dead Rise, you can rank like all six entries so far. So one being your favorite and six being like your least favorite. But I mean, it's Evil Dead, so you can't really, it can't be least favorite, just the one you aren't a big of a fan of.
I was going to say there is no worst Evil Dead movie. There's just the least best.
Yeah.
Oh God. It's okay. Definitely Evil Dead 2 as the top one.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. What does it say that I'm immediately at a hard spot?
I think that's a good thing, just to show like how amazing this whole franchise is, that like it's hard to pick like anything beyond like your personal favorite.
Yeah, it's a lot of personal taste. I'm gonna say Evil Dead 2 number one. Probably for number two, it's number two and three are gonna be Tyrese's. I'm gonna say Evil Dead Rise, and then the first Evil Dead film, Army of Darkness, Evil Dead 2013.
That's good. So let's get into talking about your writing, because that's how I was first sort of introduced to you online. I had seen someone share your piece on trans dude's name Ashley in the Evil Dead one, and I read it and absolutely loved it. And so, yeah, your first piece on the Evil Dead that's published online isn't actually about gender and is more so a passion piece that you adapted from a school essay detailing your love of the franchise and also what the 2013 reboot did right and what it did wrong and sort of how it fits in the franchise. Had you been writing on sort of trans topics at the time, and did you ever think that like it was ever going to intersect with writing about horror?
So I want to say, like, my writing history is kind of all over the place. I definitely, when I came out as trans, I did a lot of writing just about, like, the being trans thing for about 2 years. And it wasn't until probably 2019, 2020 that I really started to get to, like, film writing again. And so, like you said, this piece came from a film class that I was doing where the assignment was basically just, like, comparing one film from one era of, like, the same genre in, like, 20 or 30 years down the line, and how those two films of the same genre, like, intersect, how they're similar, how they're different. And I'm like, this is just a perfect time to talk about Evil Dead. And I think that, like, that really nipped the floodgates that have since opened.
Yeah. So, speaking of Evil Dead and your writing, when did you first start finding notes of trans representation in Evil Dead? Like, we really don't, as of right now, have, like, a publicly trans character in the franchise, minus the little drag queen thing in Ash vs. Evil Dead Season 2. So sort of when did you start discovering that, like, this franchise made by a bunch of white dudes from Michigan was, like, secretly, like, trans and gender coded?
So I want to say I first started finding notes of trans representation in Evil Dead probably around 2019. Because I tried to Google this before I started writing about anything, because I didn't want to just say what other people were already saying, but worse and shorter. And really the only broadly queer reading I could find on the series was like sporadically from other Tumblr posts and like smaller blogs, like positing that maybe Ash is trans just because his name is Ashley, but not really going any deeper into it than that. And admittedly, that is like a portion of what my original piece was, where I'm like, hey, his name's Ashley, let's look at him as this more like androgynous feminine character. But then once you actually start to look at like the meat of these films, there, I think there is a lot of like interesting thematic stuff that you can do with even just like the concept of the Deadite, where this thing takes control of your body and you no longer have like control over your identity or what you're doing or what you look like or act like. Like, body horror in general is, I think, really, really transcoded. And I don't know how the Evil Dead has flown under the radar for so long. And yeah, there's just like a lot here with personal autonomy, and especially in Evil Dead 2, when you look at Ash having to literally cut off his hand in order to like reclaim himself, like that, so much loaded imagery in just that one sequence alone.
Yeah, I always thought it interesting that like, they like his father and like his mother gave him such a feminine name. Like they sort of say his full name in the show, and it's Ashley Joanna Williams. And like, I don't think that they probably did to like make fun of like the father son dynamic that Brock and Ash have. But I found it interesting because we don't really know much about his mother. So we don't know if they did it like, cause they were just like stupid and or if they, maybe Ash was born female. Like, I always found that super, super interesting.
Yeah, feminine first name and feminine middle name, just to like really, because I mean, you see like a boy named Sue, and there's like a few characters with like who are like men who have feminine names, and that's a point of like bullying or joking. But the interesting thing is that it's never really a point of like ridicule for Ash at any point in the series beyond the television show. Like, his name is just Ashley, and that is a statement of fact.
Mm-hmm. And I also, like, in the first movie, I think Cheryl's the only one to call Ash Ashley, because, like, Ash would probably introduce himself to his friends as Ash and not Ashley, but Cheryl, having grown up with him, would know that his name's actually Ashley. So that's just, like, was Cheryl dead-naming Ash in Evil Dead?
I've been dead-named in the Evil Dead cabin.
Cheryl Williams, transphobic, question mark? So moving on, why is trans representation in horror so important to you, and sort of what sparked your interest in writing about it?
So the short answer to that is COVID happened and I had a lot of free time all of a sudden. Basically, this whole thing began because I watched two films kind of coincidentally that had these not necessarily trans identified killers, but antagonists that the film utilized very loaded imagery and rhetoric in order to convey, like, they are fucked up because they are dressing as the sex or gender that they are not born as. And that was the point where I was like, okay, this is a thing that repeats itself in these films that I'm watching, what is the true extent of this? And again, people have like written about this stuff before and they've done like slight dives into it, but I couldn't find a history that like satisfied my own desire to see that answered. And so I just have gone down the rabbit hole for 3 years, and it's a lot more interesting than what the surface level would have you believe. Like, it's not just Psycho, Dress to Kill, Silence of the Lambs, and Sleepaway Camp. Like, I have accidentally stumbled upon well over probably at this point 150 films, and that's just like stuff with explicit textual characters. There's a lot more where it's coding or where it's subtext or where it's like just films made by trans people. And it's a really, really undertapped market for me, just because there's so much that you can do with like trans identity and body and autonomy and just how identity is understood and conveyed specifically in a horror context that you really don't see like utilized to its full potential. And I would like, more recently than I think there ever has been, there are a lot of trans creatives and a lot of trans characters entering the horror sphere, and they are doing really fun and interesting things. Like Jane Schoburn's We're All Going to the World's Fair is really, really good. Alice McKay has her third film in 3 years coming out focused on trans kids in a horror setting, and it's just like really fun and unique ideas that I don't think you can get from like any other creator.
Yeah. Have you seen like the movie Ted Raimi was in, Skinner?
I have, yes.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna say, if you haven't seen that, you should totally watch it, because there's probably like a boatload of stuff in that with the whole like wearing a woman's skin
to kill people.
that's a whole other podcast episode. So, with writing about a franchise where the majority of the fans are middle-aged straight white dads, what has sort of the response from fans been to your work?
By and large, it has been a positive response. I will say I do get the occasional very angry middle-aged man and woman. There have been some angry women that have been very mad at my implication that Bruce Campbell is not hung like a horse cisgender male, because I think they've confused my interpretation of Ash Williams as my interpretation of Bruce Campbell, the human being actor. I love the internet. But no, by and large, the reception has been really, really positive. Every time Ash Williams pops up in the news, I watch the stats for my pieces go, like, they tick a little bit. just because, like, people are stumbling upon this and people are, like, engaging with it. And it's honestly, it's like, it's been really, really fun to watch unfold, just because there had not previously at that point been many trans interpretations. And now I think like pretty much every fan art I see of Ash Williams has like top surgery scars, or he has just like explicit breasts. And like, there's this like much more casual and willing engagement with him as a trans character that I find like really, really fun, and like not reclamation necessarily, but it feels nice that there's this like new generation of kids who grew up watching Evil Dead with their dads. And now there's this new element to the series that like we can all engage with and have fun with.
Yeah. Talking on your note about like people acting like Bruce Campbell is like the peak of like macho man, I think that's like, I love that like Ash Williams as a character who is just like represented so much as like being like a manly man who like gets hot babes and drinks beer or whatever is also like a trans icon. Like, if you Google Ash Williams, one of like the first results you get is the picture of him with the trans flag behind him that you have for your one of your articles. I think that's absolutely wonderful.
I got cross-posted to a trans exclusionary feminist like Reddit clone called Over It, spelled O-V-A-R-I-T, like ovaries.
Yeah.
And oh man, the anger at the implication that a macho man could not be cisgender is very real and very funny.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Evil Dead Rise, because as mentioned earlier, you're one of the very lucky people that got to see it at South by Southwest with like the cast and crew there.
Yes.
Which I'm so jealous about. So what was like the experience of like waiting in line to see that and then seeing it and sort of like the Q&A afterwards and stuff?
I mean, it was great. It was my first time in Texas, my first time at South by Southwest. I got there 2 hours ahead of time, and there were already 50 people in line, some of whom had been in line for like 4 hours. So the dedication in this fandom is crazy to me. And just like the theater is beautiful. It's this giant, like two-story. You have the floor, the seats all on the floor, and then you have a bunch of seats up in the balcony. So it is a giant theater, a giant screen. I was in the second row from the back on the bottom, and I still had like perfect full view of the screen. And then like literally from the first 5 minutes, the crowd was just like so responsive. And it was so fun to like go through the journey of like watching a new Evil Dead movie, reacting to all of these kills and the jokes and just like the gore with a crowd full of people. And even the Q&A with the now infamous heckler was just like so surreal to be there for, because I was on the bottom floor. I could not hear anything he was shouting until the very end, where he shouted, "This movie fucking sucks." I'm like, who is shouting right now? And God bless.
Yeah, no, I'm so glad like that the heckler was funny when it first happened, like when it first started popping up online, and then people found his Twitter, and then it just sort of went down from there in terms
and then,
of like,
oh god,
funny. I do think it's quite funny though that he fell asleep during an Evil Dead movie, a movie that, I mean, I haven't seen Evil Dead Rise, but I'm sure for the majority of it is a lot of screaming and chainsaw noises.
Oh god, even just from the crowd alone, I don't know how you sleep through that many people like screaming at the top of their lungs.
Yeah, like if this dude was so tired and hated the movie, just get up and leave. Don't sleep in the theater. I think, god, it was
his dedication to making people mad.
Yeah. Okay, so getting back on track, you recently put out a piece called The Transgender Evil Dead, not to be confused with your other piece, The Transgender Evil Dead. The only difference is brackets around the word transgender. And Evil Dead Rise has kind of given us our first real trans character in the Evil Dead franchise. So sort of what was that like, sort of seeing the movie for the first time and sort of having that realization that like, oh man, like there's like not a cis person in this.
So it's interesting because Morgan Davies, who plays Danny, is technically not the first trans person in Evil Dead, but he's the first one in the movies. I'm playing very much into semantics here. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I believe you mentioned it earlier. We might have cut that re-questioning out, but oh god, I forgot her name.
Oh, I've got your article right here. I can.
Thank you. I'm like, wow. I literally have a notebook full of notes, and I somehow did not write down her name. Joni, is it Joni?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Keep this in. Yeah, so in Ash vs. Evil Dead Season 2, there is one episode where a trans woman named Joni shows up, and she is played by a genderqueer drag queen from, I don't remember where she's from, but she is New Zealand and Australia based. And that is an interesting character because it is hard to determine whether or not the series is trying to make a trans joke or a drag queen joke, and there's kind of some gray area there. And so that leads us to Morgan Davies, who is not only the first trans actor in one of the Evil Dead films specifically, but also the first trans masculine actor in the franchise. And I remember when the cast for this film was announced and they announced the three kids, and I saw Morgan Davies, and just like, I don't know how to describe this without sounding like really surface level or bad, but like, I looked at him and something in my brain recognized like, this is a trans person. And I Googled him and I was like, yep, wow. Like there is a trans person in Evil Dead, and being able to see him like literally blown up on this giant world premiere screen where people have like lined up around the block to watch is just like so surreal. And I literally, like, I don't know how to put proper words to it. Just, like, being able to recognize, a trans person, even if they're not necessarily playing a trans character, just in this franchise that has shaped so much of my own identity and my own understanding of myself is, like, it's beyond words.
Yeah. Do you think once the movie comes out sort of worldwide, like other people will sort of have this realization as well? Because in your article, it says they never like sort of really define what his gender is or whatever, or have any sort of indication that this character might be trans?
I have a feeling that it probably won't, just because a lot of cis people just, like, that's not on their radar. They're not looking for that, especially not in an Evil Dead film where, like, the priority of focus is gore and all that stuff. But I have, like, in talking about this myself, seen a lot of other trans people, like, get excited for this movie for that specific reason. So I think within, like, the horror community and the trans community, this movie is going to, like, have a lot of fans. And I hope that some of that bleeds over into, like, the rest of the community, like, specifically with cis fans who, like, can see this new character and this new, I guess, new door for the series to go down if it wants to, like, continue having trans creatives involved in it.
Yeah. So talking on that topic a bit more, what do you hope to see in the future in terms of trans representation in the Evil Dead movies and then, like, the horror genre as a whole?
Oh, God. Just, again, short answer, more. just there simultaneously is, like, so much more representation than there has been historically, but a lot of the stuff coming through in the mainstream is a lot less willing, I guess, to engage with the trans text than films before. Like, just films historically have been like, here's a trans character, they are weird and scary. And more recently, it's here's a trans actor, not necessarily playing a trans character, but just physically present as a trans person. And I would love to just see more, like, again, trans people playing trans people and having these explicitly trans characters in explicitly trans stories. Like, I think there is so much room for, like, a trans person possession narrative, a trans person, like, having to reclaim themselves from an evil, whether that's a demonic possession or a werewolf or a vampire or whatever you want to, like, whatever antagonistic force you want to throw at them. There are so many interesting, like, ways of storytelling that can be done with trans people and trans ideas. And again, I think Evil Dead is a great film series to do that in. And I really hope that, like, wherever they go next in the franchise, like, they continue to bring trans people on, like, as actors, as writers, as, like, DPs, like, whatever door we can get our foot in. I think we have a lot to offer this franchise.
I agree. It's really awesome, everything you said. I hope it all happens, especially for Evil Dead, because where Ash is sort of detached from the franchise now, and it's sort of like whoever finds the Necronomicon, I think that opens up a lot of doors for bringing a lot more diverse characters into, like, the limelight of this series, because it's more so about the objects that cause the movie and less about the person who's fighting off the demons.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got a series called Made to Be Monsters, where you've covered stuff like Reanimator, Ginger Snaps, Evil Dead, Jennifer's Body. You've got a piece on Lunatics, A Love Story, and Darkman, which are, yes, two films in the Bruce Campbell, Sam Raimi universe. Sort of what's the footnote versions of each of those for Lunatics and Darkman, sort of the transcoding in them?
Oh, God. I'm pulling from memory entirely here, but I love Darkman just because it is such a fun film about, like, feeling like you can't exist socially around other people without, like, effectively masking. Like, he is constantly pretending to be, like, a version of himself that no longer exists to try and salvage this relationship. And throughout the film, he realizes, like, no, I can't. I'm not this person. I maybe never was this person. And I have to, like, go on my own to discover what actually is at the core of me. And that is such a transgender narrative. My God. And Lunatics, A Love Story is honestly just, like, another personal reading of, like, this poor son of a bitch Ted Raimi character is so scared by the world and scared of himself and what he thinks could happen to him if he goes out, like, literally, like, outside of his apartment into his apartment hallway is, like, the gate between heaven and hell for him. And it's not until he finds somebody else who is, like, just as scared as he is that he's like, no, I'm willing to, like, put myself in harm's way if it means that I get to have these bonds with people who, like, can relate to me. And honestly, like, more topical now than ever before.
Yeah. I love Lunatic's Love Story so much. I am hoping that it has a renaissance very soon.
Oh God, yes.
It is a wonderful film. I found it on YouTube on like a horrible VHS rip where the last 3 minutes are silent. So it literally took me a year to find out what they were saying because I found the script on Josh Becker's website. So I love Lunatic's Love Story. I'm so glad I found someone else who does as well.
Yes.
It's not a very well heard of film.
It's not. I met Ted Raimi last year at a convention that came into town, and I brought my Lunatic's DVD, which has only been released in Australia, but I bought that online and I brought it to Ted Raimi to sign, and he was like, holy shit, I cannot believe somebody has this movie.
I love it. So talking about other films in sort of the Raimi-verse, were there other film entries or even movies that Bruce Campbell's been in where there's like notes of transcoding and maybe you just haven't like written a piece on it yet or like don't have enough meat there to build a piece out of? Or yeah.
Oh God. I was trying to think of this for a bit. Like honestly, anything Bruce Campbell's in, he's just like, oh, what? I believe it's Waxwork 2. It's this sequel to, well, Waxwork.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays this weird doctor who ends up like strapped to a table with like his entire chest like ripped apart, and it's just like guts and skin hanging there. I don't know how I'd write about that, but just that image of a decimated chest is very fun to play with.
Yeah.
And I guess in terms of Sam Raimi, I've seen a lot of transgender Spider-Man interpretations, which is not necessarily Sam Raimi exclusive. However, I love that trilogy, and I think a like serious magnifying glass to that trilogy specifically through a trans lens would be really, really fun to do.
Yeah. I love the Raimi Spider-Man movie so much. So talking on all that wonderful stuff that's got all this trans representation in it, have you ever figured out why sort of like the Evil Dead movies and other entries in the Raimi-verse have all this like trans coding to it when it was made by like 5 straight white cis dudes from Michigan? Like, do you think it would... Like, it probably wasn't intentional, because why would they do this?
Oh, God, no. Definitely was not intentional, but a broken clock is right twice a day. No, I think a lot of it is just, I think Sam Raimi is especially focused on people who have to reclaim themselves from, like, unspeakable evils. And you see that in The Evil Dead, you see that in Spider-Man, you see that in Darkman, and, oh, God, I am... really bad at coming up with other films, but I think even like The Quick and the Dead, like there's so much there about like reclaiming your identity and yourself from a past that has turned you into something you never thought you would be, but you can't just stop being that. So you have to like, okay, this is who I am now. This is the reality that I am faced with. I have to figure out a way to move forward from here. And that is a type of story that lends itself very readily to, I think, a transgender interpretation.
Yeah. So that was all the questions I have for you. Is there anything you would like to say as like a final point, or maybe like a question that I didn't ask you or something? Like, final regards for Hail to the Deadites podcast.
Whoever you get to direct the next Evil Dead film, make it a trans woman.
I totally agree. So where can people find your work online to read all the awesome stuff that you have created?
So a lot of my old work is on Medium. I think the link is a translog. Socials, I am across the board, trans horrors, plural. And then I also have a Patreon, which is trans horror, singular, where twice a month I write about transgender horror films that either end up in, like actually including a trans character or that have been made, written, directed, starring trans people in some capacity.
Awesome. So that's going to be it for today's episode of Hail to the Deadites. Thank you so much for joining me, Logan Ashley. It was an absolute blast to have you here because I've wanted you on the show for so long. It's so nice to be able to sit and chat with you about this because I think it's something that Evil Dead fans really, really need to hear. And even horror fans sort of as a broader term. So I'm super, super glad we got to do this episode.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here.
That's great. So make sure to like, share, and subscribe if you enjoyed this episode. And I will see you next week for Hail to the Deadites episode 11. Stay groovy.